Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi there, I'm Jake Humphrey and welcome to the Premier League Tonight podcast. We're bringing the best Premier League debate show to the podcast realm each and every week, and we're available on iTunes, Acast and wherever else you get your podcasts. Joining me tonight to discuss the day's biggest talking points, we had Frank Lampard, Steve McManaman and Harry Redknapp. We had a jam-packed show with all of last season's top five in action on Saturday, Manchester United hosting Spurs and Chelsea travelling to the Vitality Stadium to face Bournemouth. Now remember, if you want to get involved in the show as one of our fan pundits, just email btsportfanpundit@gmail.com. Premier League Tonight is all about the fans' voice. Right, let's get down to it. Enjoy the show.
1-0. I think we deserved the victory, despite the fact Spurs without Harry Kane. Yes, they did have their chances. Yes, they did cause us our problems. But I think it was professional and we deserved the victory at the end of the day. I remember people talking after Spurs had drawn against Real Madrid as if they were the best team in the world and, you know, all that stuff. Have a day off, will ya? United got the 3 points. It was job done. And what is it they were saying? The Harry Kane team? Sounds about right.
We'll discuss that in detail in a minute. But guys, I just want to draw your attention to this. This is Tottenham's last 2 years in the Premier League. This is their point since they came here 2 years ago. And as you can see, no one has picked up more points than Tottenham in those last 2 years. Look how many days they've been top of the Premier League for. A big fat zero. So how does this end? Are we going to see a Tottenham side where if they don't win trophies, the team breaks up? What's going to happen to this team, Harry?
I don't know about the team breaking up. It is a team that is capable. I think the squad is capable of winning a trophy this year. But, you know, they do rely heavily on Harry Kane. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a one-man team, obviously, but he scores. He scores every other week, you know, and you need people at the end of the day. You can play all the football in the world and they had lots of possession today. But suddenly someone's got to go bang, stick it in the back of the net, you get the result. And when Harry don't play, they're short. So they miss him.
I think we had a conversation like this about the same situation last year about Tottenham. There's only one team can win the league. And unfortunately, the team that are sitting at the top of the league are the team that I think have spent the most money and are playing wonderful football. So everybody, it's just a bad time for Tottenham. They're playing probably the best football they've played in a long time. They've got an outstanding side. They're playing great football, attractive football. But there's just somebody better than them at the moment.
So have they missed the boat then, do you think, with City suddenly becoming so strong?
I don't say Matt missed the boat, but I mean, the evolution of the team and the club in the 2 or 3 years is outstanding. So let's all praise that for starters. They've got a great team, manager, Harry Kane, Dele Alli, play great football. Don't know, Mr. Boat, Chelsea were fantastic last year, most consistent team. They're obviously a very consistently good team, but sometimes you need that little edge, and they haven't managed to find that now. You call it a winning mentality. It's easy to say winning mentality. It's like that thing that everyone says you've got until you become a winner. Yeah. That's their next step.
I think it's hard for them to win the league, isn't it? I think they need to, like every club, you need to try and win a trophy. They need to try and win a cup somewhere along the line, focus on something and try and win it. But to win the league, you know, you showed the stat there of how many days they were top of the league. That doesn't mean anything. Liverpool were top of the league for so many days, it said, and that stat, and they never won anything. So but you have to get over the line sooner rather than later. I think everybody thinks Pochettino's a genius and the job he's done is fantastic. But sooner rather than later, they need some silverware to appease some of their star players.
Isn't there something in that, though, that when It's not until you win a trophy that you feel you're the sort of player that can win a trophy. It gives you that confidence.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, the amount of times you see somebody win an FA Cup, a League Cup, as Macca says, like anything, you know, and all of a sudden you get that feeling going through the club. But I don't know, they're a young team. It can't go on forever. Those young players, the Harry Kanes and the Dele Allies, you know, people will come knocking. So they're going to want to do it in the next season or two.
That's
for
the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You look at Kyle Walker, for instance, you know, I'm not envisaging at all Tottenham selling the players or losing the players. I'd hate that to happen. But Kyle Walker suddenly goes to Manchester City and they're flying, aren't they? Mm. And they're playing really well. And if he wins the league, people will be looking at him going, well, you know, he's gone and done that. And, you know, they're doing well. And that's the only thing. And, I hope they do get a bit of silverware. They certainly deserve it, the way they're playing football.
They've just run into a team, I mean, at the moment. They've all run into a team. Yeah. Man United started the season thinking they're going to win the league this year. One, you know, who was favourites that might have even been United? Or
it was United just before the season started, wasn't it?
You know,
it was.
Suddenly you've run into a Man City team that at the moment, are just absolutely flying.
Yeah. How much is the wage structure an issue?
It's not a problem, but I don't see a problem with the wage structure there at the moment at all. I mean, you know, you've not seen Harry Kane ever come out and say he's not happy, but eventually you're going to have to pay Harry his worth. You know, he's not going to keep sitting back going, well, I love Tottenham, it's a good club, I'm playing well, the fans love me, but I could be earning double what I'm earning if I was at another club. Eventually you're going to have to pay him whatever, and I'm sure if they want to keep him, they'll do that.
I don't think it's a problem for a while, as you say. Harry Kane's a Tottenham boy.
They're getting well paid, aren't they?
And you know what, actually, they are getting very well paid, and credit to Tottenham for what they've done there. They've actually got a wage structure. They haven't gone out and every summer and gone, bam, we're going to buy that one and that one. The team's moved forward, and credit to the manager and the club for that.
Let's talk then about United, who beat them today. So much criticism gets sent Jose Mourinho's way, normally for two things: the amount of money he's spent and the type of football he plays. Isn't his answer every time, though, he's a man paid to win games of football, and that's exactly what he's doing?
Yeah, we had this conversation last week. I agree with that.
You have an issue with it, though, don't you?
I have an issue with him while he's managing Manchester United. If he was managing Liverpool and playing the way he's doing, I wouldn't be happy.
Even if Liverpool had won the Europa League and...
I want to be entertained.
League Cup. Yeah.
And I'm not entertained. And you can't just go back and say, you know, oh, yeah, we got 3 points today. But I want to be entertained. I don't want to be going to games and walking away going, that was rubbish, but we won 1-0. Well, I certainly wouldn't. If Man United fans are happy, fine, I've got no problem. But I would rather be sitting watching Pep Guardiola's team destroy teams every
season. Would you rather Liverpool finished second playing wonderful football or won the league playing Jose football?
Well, of course you want to win the league, don't you? But Man United haven't won the league under Jose.
But they may. Playing that way?
Well, everybody may. Liverpool
may. They may do. I don't think they'll
be able to. Man City may. It's only my opinion, Jake. I would rather pay to watch entertaining football. I think Manchester United, like Liverpool, like Ajax in the Dutch league, like Bayern Munich, should play entertaining football. That's only my opinion.
Boys?
I don't think this Man United team's capable of winning the league. You know, I look at them, it's you know, having been there, over, like the boys over the years, and seen fantastic Man United teams that were just excited you. They got, you know, you went there and suddenly the pace they had out wide, the ability of people, the skulls and whoever, they were just incredible. This team, for me, it doesn't come anywhere near it. But, I mean, Frank won league titles, the Chelsea. I mean, it wasn't a boring team, Frank.
We weren't a boring team. I agree. I'm somewhere in the middle here. Winning is definitely the main thing for me. I agree. But I do, and you can be pragmatic for a game. So we were going to play away against, you know, Champions League game in Madrid or Barcelona, we're going to really set up to try and get a 0-0 here. I think there were some games during the season where you go, OK, let's get our best players and get them to sort of play that football. And I think that's maybe where the balance hasn't quite been right. And maybe they're very comfortable with these things, so I'll keep getting those results. But I think now City are setting a different bar, which makes it very difficult for them.
And you think he needs to react to that and be a bit
but
more...
City have got different type of players. Man City have got fantastic attacking players that can do... I don't see that. I don't see...
United have got Rashford. Lingard and Martial and...
I wouldn't put them in the same... They're not...
Nowhere near as good as...
No, they're not.
So is he not playing the right football then for the players he's got, Jose?
I don't think he's got the players. I don't think it's a great... I look at the defence today. Mm. It doesn't compare to a Ferdinand, Vidic and all these, but he's not in the same league.
So he's doing well to be where he is.
He's got what he's got and he's getting the best, you know, he's playing with what he's got. I don't know what...
No, because they've got finances to burn, haven't they, United? So it's just, listen, it's just the type of player he wants in that particular side. The Lukaku, the Matic and Lindelof he brought in the summer. They're just the type of players. City went another way. and went, right, I want two, you know, I want Mendy, I want Walker. He just wants to go forward and pile forward, and Silva, you know, Bernardo Silva. He wanted those type of players. I think it's each to their own, really.
Man City got, you know, much more exciting players, haven't they? Mm. Better, it's a better team.
Loads of thoughts coming in on social media. BB Beke said, Mourinho could probably coach a 0-0 in the NBA. And a few others like that. Everyone's saying, no, Kane, don't forget Fellaini and Pogba were not on Man United squad today as well, says Osas Cruz. Let's just change the topic for a second and go live to Graham Poll. Graham, today there was an incident involving Troy Deeney and Joe Allen, wasn't there, in the Watford and Stoke game. Just talk us through, first of all, what happened.
Yeah, it was a particularly difficult game, quite feisty, which Michael Oliver was refereeing. And it culminated just towards the end of the game with a flashpoint with Troy Deeney and Joe Allen facing off. And what you didn't see, what Michael didn't see, because he was the wrong side, was Troy Deeney actually pressing his thumb right into Joe Allen's face. Very, very aggressive. A really nasty one, which I'm sure the FA are going to look at. The referee isn't given the choice anymore. After the game's finished, it's down to the FA to look at it and decide whether to go for it. And I think that the picture there, the still, shows there was a lot of aggression there. It was a very, very poor challenge.
So the situation now is that the FA can take retrospective action simply if they decide to. It's nothing to do with the ref and what's in his report. And
no, I mean, he did caution Deeney, but that was probably for the push on Shawcross, because he shoved him away and Shawcross hit the ground from the push. So I think it would be safe to assume he hasn't seen that thumb in the face. The FA will take that view, assume he hasn't, and then charge, and I would expect Deeney to pick up a three-match ban.
Graham, when do the FA get involved? Do they do it instantly? Would they do it tomorrow or was Monday? Because we spoke, I think it was the week before last, about the Richarlison incident against their Arsenal, and nothing seems to have happened since then.
Yeah, they'll get involved on Monday. They'll look at it. If they decide it's a charge, then they send it to their panel. And if they come back and say, yes, there's a charge to be had, they will charge the player, and then Watford have 24 or 48 hours to reply to that charge. So probably by Monday night, close of play, you'll hear if he's been charged. And then by Wednesday, you'll know if Watford are contesting that or if, in fact, a ban is going to be issued.
We shall watch with interest. Graham, thank you very much. Enjoyed that. A few other thoughts coming in. Sachin Nakrani, who's a Guardian journalist, says Mourinho will dress today up as a tactical masterclass on his part. Ultimately, it's a poor game decided by route one and a defensive error. Samuel Luckhurst, who's a reporter for the Manchester Evening News, Spurs seem to believe their own hype. Man United took them down a peg or two today. Pochettino's lost 4-4 at Old Trafford with Tottenham now. And Lee Andrew, on today's evidence, it looked like Spurs were the ones that parked the bus. Will they mention it? Probably not. Coming up and joining us, round of applause for Callum Wilson, everybody. Callum, hello.
Thank you
very much for coming up. Tough old day today out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a tough test. I think in the first half, we should have probably got a bit more closer to them. We was a bit too passive. The manager changed things around at half-time and we started looking a bit more of a threat.
But for you personally, being back, being involved, being fit, feeling good, I mean, that's the most important thing, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's just about getting as much game time as possible now. I've got 20 minutes today, scored in the week, and, hopefully I'll just get more time on the pitch.
Talk us through how the last couple of years has been for you.
It's been tough, you know. Obviously, no player likes a setback, and when you have one, you come back from it. You think that's in the past, and then obviously you get hit with another blow. You deal with it, it makes you stronger. As a person, mentally, and just with nice support of your family and obviously teammates and stuff, you can get through them things.
What about mindset? Because yours was obviously terrible injury. I used to get muscles, and I remember coming back and being so concerned that I was going to redo it. Have you got over that thought of someone's going to clap me and I'm going to go again?
Yeah, I think when I was in the first side, I come back and I was a little bit tentative with tackles and stuff, and obviously the inevitable happened, and I done the opposite side, and now I've just. My mindset is just I've done both sides now, you know. I've done the worst I could do, so that chapter's in the past. And
You're young, aren't you? You've got a lot ahead of you. That's it, cool.
That's the key, really, yeah.
Mm. Everyone's young compared to us anymore.
I know, yeah.
That's the problem. What do the specialists say to you when you've had it done? I mean, is it stronger than before? As strong as before?
It's obviously they tighten everything up, really, so it makes everything more stable. And it's just about doing your rehab right and applying yourself properly, really.
You got like needs of a 15-year-old now or something?
Yeah, well, obviously, hopefully, I can play till I'm 35 and beyond, you know.
Ambitions, because you were touching getting involved with England squad before you were injured, obviously. Ambitions to get back in.
That's obviously on the agenda, you know. I don't get too ahead of myself and take it step by step. But, obviously, there's a World Cup coming up. But
he was flying, absolutely flying. Yeah. I used to see him play. I mean, And even and Frank's dad, he played at West Ham, Callum, and your dad rang me, Frank, and said, I think you scored a hat-trick that day, did you, at West Ham?
Yeah.
He said, absolute. What? He said, I've seen a centre-forward today, or even Bournemouth. He said, what a good player. I said, yeah, I know. He's going to, he'll end up in the England team. But then, unfortunately, he got his injuries, but he's back now. And I still think he's an outsider. You know, he could come with a run and be pushing for that World Cup squad. I really do. I've seen, and I ain't saying that because he's sitting here. He's been fantastic. He really has. He's a good player.
And it's true. It's not just because you're there. Harry bangs the Callum Wilson for England drum every time we do a live game. So if it does happen,
I had him watch more than anybody. Andy Gray. You remember Andy Gray? He played at Tottenham. Andy somehow or the other told me about Callum at Coventry. And I kept sending scouts every week, right? I was at QPR. I said, they've gone and watched him. He scored two goals again. He went, yeah, but I don't know. It can't. Next week, he scored again. How'd he go? Well, I'm not sure. Now, when I see one or two of them, I always fancied him, Harry. It was someone else. I go, yeah, OK.
You should have gone to the games yourself, you see.
When I was busy on Saturday afternoons. You know,
there is that, yeah.
That's true. You did have someone else. It's great that you sit here and you say all the right things and you're positive and you've got your head down and you worked hard. Is there a small part of you that thinks, what if? Because you were the top scorer at Bournemouth getting promoted into the Premier League. It was a brilliant season.
Yeah.
You just don't know, do you?
Yeah, it's tough, you know. When I did get injured, I think I had 5 goals in 6 games or something like that. So I was feeling good about myself, feeling fit and stronger. And obviously you have that setback. But I think you can't dwell on it. It's gone now. I can only build from where I am now, really, and make up for lost time.
People talk about finding strength from those bad times. I mean, is that just a rubbish analogy, or is there actually some truth in that?
No, yeah, I think it makes you appreciate everything, really, as a whole. Go out and training every day, I'm buzzing, really, whereas sometimes you can get complacent when you're in the team all the time, and now I think I just appreciate everything every day. Football, is obviously everything, really.
You see the difference there when Callum came on, all of a sudden things are happening in the box around you. I think that's what top strikers do. There's a knack where you get the ball in your box and then you're in there. Aspilicueta made a great tackle and a block on you, but that's what top strikers do.
Thank you.
Who do you watch? Who do you aspire to be? Who do you?
Growing up, my idol was Thierry. Obviously, great striker. I used to watch YouTube clips before. I used to play my own matches and stuff. And obviously, he's a fantastic.
And having Jermaine around, he's got to be, you know, Jermaine. He practices, and he finishes, then now he finishes. It's great to have someone like that as well at your club.
Yeah, it's true.
You talk about some BT Sport pundits rather than the other channel. Like Michael Owen or someone. Richard sent a message in saying, does Cal feel as though we lack confidence this season? We seem wasteful, we're struggling to score goals. Just give us a sort of insight into the mood at Bournemouth at the moment. One off the bottom.
I think everyone's upbeat, really, to be honest. Results breed confidence, and when we ain't been getting them, obviously, from the outside looking in, it could look like we've lost a bit of belief and stuff. But I think everyone's on song, really, and when we get one or two results, we'll be all firing on all cylinders, I think.
What's Eddie said? Because it is about results, isn't it? And you have only got those 7 points.
Just that the next block of games is massive for us, really. That will really define our season. We obviously got Newcastle in a break, but we need to hit the ground running as soon as possible and start picking up results, because otherwise we'll find ourselves in a sticky situation.
And they've got games to come. Burnley are coming here, aren't they? They've got the Newcastle game. They've got games, I think, where you can pick up points now.
Yeah.
And finally, a question from Doomy. He says, how hard was it today to defend against Hazard and co? What do you think of Chelsea's performance? I mean, you do need to defend as a team, no matter where you're playing when you play Chelsea. They were very professional today, weren't they?
Yeah, they were good, obviously. We defend from the front. We press. And if, obviously, we get pierced, we get behind the ball. They're great players, you know. As soon as they break our lines, they're just all running at our defence in different directions and stuff. Yeah. But I think the boys did great, apart from, obviously, the goal that we conceded. We obviously limited them to chances and stuff. But, on another day, we'll get something out of the game now, I think.
Good man. Well, look, thanks for joining us. Judging by the bangs outside, we're keeping you from some fireworks display down the road. Everyone that comes on the show, we ask them for the same thing, which is their three-word match report. How would you describe today's game from a Bournemouth perspective in only 3 words? It's amazing how hard some people find this, by the way.
A little bit frustrated.
No, a little bit frustrated. That's 4 words. What is it about this? Should we give you a bit frustrating?
Oh, a little frustrating.
A little frustrating. Right, we'll take that. We got there in the end. Listen, thank you very much. And loads of support and loads of positivity coming in for you on social media tonight. So,
thank you.
People are keen for you to get back among the goals and be playing for England.
Yeah.
No one happier than Harry Redknapp if it happens, all right?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers,
Harry White, his three-word match report is season-defining sub. He's a United fan, as is Julie, who says Jose masterclass again. Steve won't agree with that. Paddy Briggs, a Spurs fan, good, no cigar. And Sarah, who's a Liverpool fan, says a clean sheet, and she says it in capital letters. And Gareth Cully, a City fan, goals for fun. They're certainly enjoying life at the moment. Right, time to talk about West Ham. Of course, West Ham today play Crystal Palace. Let's hear now from Baz Cox and Terence Ford. This is how they enjoyed their day.
It's finished here at Selhurst Park. Somehow we've found a way back into the game. 2-2 is finished. Wilfried Zaha with the last kick of the game. Palace finally finding a way past Joe Hart, who was probably man of the match in the West Ham goal. A much needed point, especially being 2-0 down at half time, and hopefully we can build from there.
That sums West Ham up. Go to Wembley, 2-0 down against Tottenham, come back and win 3-2. Play Crystal Palace, side who don't win football matches, go 2-0 up. And can see 2 second half with this 2-2. Tough!
Life as a football fan, as a West Ham fan at the moment. Look, we had this reports a few days ago about Slaven Bilic has got two games to save his job. And then they go and they beat a Spurs team in the League Cup who were a much changed Spurs side. And then today they get this draw. What is it about this two games to save your job, three games to save your job? What good does that do anyone?
Jake, has it actually happened? Did David Sullivan or
David
Gold? What's
it taught us? What have we learned?
But did they actually call him and say, you've got two games on win, or is it just someone saying that? I don't know. I mean,
how often in your career did things happen and when you pick up the paper, the story is completely different to what happened in that?
Every day.
Every story normally. I never said that. I never spoke to him. Yeah. All the time. Yeah. Most of it was there's plenty of embellishment going on. I mean, you don't know whether this story... I mean, unfortunately, it was a strange old game today, the West Ham Palace game, because Palace were excellent in the second half, but West Ham were cruising at 2-0, and then it was, again, like most things, it was a silly mistake to give away a penalty. And that just... You could feel it. It just allowed Crystal Palace back into the game. And only for Joe Hart, he could have went on to win the game. So it's encouraging signs for both teams that they got a point. But Crystal Palace played really well, certainly in the second half.
Yeah, it was contrasting emotions for the two managers, wasn't it? Particularly at full-time. The sort of frustration for Slaven Bilic, you would imagine, you can see here. Look at that, Slav with his head in his hands and Roy elated. And Steve was saying a minute ago, Slaven Bilic must be the most frustrated manager with the stuff that's going on at that football club in terms of what happens on the pitch, which you can't control.
Yeah, no, I think it's really tough for Slaven. To be fair, this whole all these rumours about it's not rocket science. Where West Ham are, they've spent a bit of money. They expect to be in a better position, so the rumours will come. I think Slaven Bilic is a good man, an honourable man, and deserves time for sure. That's a bad result for them today. That, mentally, that's a terrible result. You can see the contrast in emotions then. I don't think it's a great result for Palace because they're playing so much catch-up that a game at home against West Ham, we were saying that, didn't we? It's a game they going into it, need to get 3 points. So both teams, bad result.
Is Slaven under deserved pressure, do you think?
No, I mean, listen, you're going to be under pressure when you're stuck down in the bottom three or four. And as Frank said, they've spent money and, you know, who does the recruitment there? Who does... You never know what's going on at a football club. You don't know until you're in that football club.
The buck has to stop somewhere. And
it stops with him. But if he's not bringing the players... I don't know. He may be bringing the players in. We don't know. Or is it somebody else giving him the players? It's like, you know... It's happened to Everton. Did Koeman bring the players in or did...
Walsh bring them in?
Walsh bring them in. Yeah. When Walsh was, you know, Steve Walsh was at Leicester, he got so much credit. It was his, you know, he bought all these players. What a fantastic job he's bringing all the players in. Suddenly he goes to Everton. I don't hear no more really about him. It's all about Koeman suddenly when things are going wrong. I don't know whether Slaven's had players dropped on him, but they bought some decent players in. I mean, Joe Hart's a great goalkeeper. Zabaleta's a good right back. You know,
I found that the recruitment a bit strange in terms of how forward-thinking it was, is what I would say. Like, Chikorita will score goals, but at the stage of his career, I don't know where the next move is. You sell him on, how long will he be there? Arnautovic shows little phases where he does well. Zabaleta, I think, a good sign, and you know what you're going to get from him. But yeah. I don't know, I think maybe they could have looked, where can we get some a bit younger, a bit of pace up front up there? I don't know, it's just a bit.
And pressure builds when other managers start losing their jobs, don't they? You know, when there's teams above you and the manager's getting losing the job, unfortunately, whether that's a right decision or the wrong decision, that starts the other people panicking, doesn't it? And it's like, oh, well, he should go now. It's time for him to go. And I think that just adds more pressure on them, which is unfortunate, really.
But you'd have seen him as a good front too, wouldn't you? Carroll and the little guy.
Yeah.
So can you see a plan at West Ham? Can you see what Slaven Bilic and West Ham are doing? Because I think it's hard in some ways to see the progression from season to season at the moment. And maybe they're having to make short-term decisions because of the fact they're struggling.
It's not easy to have a plan, is it? I'm saying that. I just thought they might have gone a bit younger with recruitment, but I don't think it's easy. I think survival is first.
That is the plan.
The plan is survival.
The plan is from outside that top six and top seven, really, because Everton shouldn't be anywhere near it, in terms of...
Is that really what West Ham are aiming for, more than survival?
Can we finish, they're not going to finish in the top six. I know they came close
top
the
half,
other
isn't
year.
It? Top eight?
If they finish top half, I thought this year they'd finish around about 10th. That's what
I think that's the thing, isn't it? There is no plan, because every manager, unfortunately now in the job, is planning for the next 6 months. You can't plan for 3-4 years down the line, bring a load of kids in, let's get the academy strong and bring them through, because you're out of a job if you lose two games. That's why it's such a ruthless business at the moment.
Amazingly, Klopp advised David Wagner, Liverpool player of Huddersfield today, not to get into management. What would your advice be for Frank? Because a few days ago I asked him whether he fancies managing Chelsea, and he said yes. You harbour an ambition to be a manager.
Get into it.
You'd still say, despite everything we've just discussed...
Yeah, but you've got to take... Your first job is the most important job. His first job that he takes will be the most important, because if he takes a job that where there's not real ambition, or the chairman, the owners are flaky and not... And it ain't the right... He's got no chance of being successful, and you're not a success, and you get the... Oh, he was a great player, Frank. Fantastic. Yeah. He's not a manager. He was a great player. Mm. That's how it works.
You hear these horror stories, the chairman will woo certain players and they'll offer them this, and we've got this, and we've got this, and as soon as they sign on the dotted line, right, we haven't got any money now. You have to make those average players much, much better. And that's the important thing.
What is right then? Is it all about now the owner? A stable owner who understands the game.
He certainly gives you a great chance.
Gives you time.
If you've got a good owner, if you could find a Steve Gibson or someone to go and work for at Middlesbrough, someone like that who's, never met the man, but he just from the outside, he's
people say that
he was your best owner. Your best owner.
I've had some good owners, I had 10 chairmen when I was at Bournemouth in 10 years. Normally the chairman gets rid of the manager. I was getting rid of the chairman.
You just want help off them, don't you? Yeah. If they've got a few finances, depending on what league you're in, if you've got a little bit of financial backing as well, that has to help.
Yeah.
But you need the stability around you, I think. You need that security, knowing that if you go into a job, if you do lose 3 or 4 games on the spin, he's going to stay with you. You're not going to react to the fans and kick you out.
Still the plan.
We've got loads of things going from ahead here. Sorry.
He's hard on a minute.
No, that's part of the
Suddenly
skill.
Suddenly he signs a 10-year deal with BT Sport.
No, I suppose that's part of the skill. And I mean, part of the skill is listening to Harry saying that. You can easily jump into something and it'd be the wrong
thing. Don't dive in, no.
There are loads of routes. Look at Stephen Gerrard here, works with us. He's taken that route. There are lots of different routes. So as long as you keep learning, this job here gives me an opportunity to do this. We're analysing games and then to work around it with my badges, go and watch good managers. So bring it all together. Who's
see? We used to all start at the bottom years ago. I mean, I know someone like Kenny, who was a legend, obviously, and he ends up being a young player and then going straight. But in the main, most managers years ago all started third, fourth division. You got a job and then you try to work your way up, and you had time to, West Ham, for instance, talk about West Ham. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I think West Ham had something like 4 managers in 60-odd years.
Yeah.
4 managers. I mean, they got relegated and come back up, and they'd get relegated 5 years later, but they'd come with the same manager. They didn't sack Ron Greenwood or John Lyle or Ted Fenton, whoever, I forget it was before that. But that was how it was. You've got a chance now. you lose three or four games, yeah, and you're under pressure.
Oh, well, you've got managers winning the Champions League at Chelsea and losing his job next season, or a manager winning the league winning in the next league, season. Yeah. Now there's talk
Claudio
of pressure.
Claudio Ranieri, yeah. I mean, he should have had a free pass for 5 years, shouldn't he? Win the league with Leicester. I mean, it's incredible.
I think as a manager, you go into it knowing that. And you've got to be unbelievably thick-skinned, because it's not easy getting the sack anyway. But you have to be aware that that's the environment we're in now.
You stay where you are.
Because you're like, no, have a go, Frank. Get in.
Get away from him.
You'll do great. The Norwich job. If you take the Norwich job, I'll be your number two.
That's impossible.
No. Ali said your first job's important. You can't take Norwich. That's ridiculous.
That's not a bad shout, Norwich. Good, yeah, good club.
Get the I'm only joking, all the Canary fans there.
He's doing well, the man. You know, we don't want to put him under pressure.
Send it to Dealer.
I am going
to
do that. The Wrath. You've seen the Wrath of Dealer.
You will not like that.
I can imagine that.
I do want to talk about the under-17s. I think all of us delighted with that today, aren't we? We are world champions at that level. You've worked with Ryan Brewster. You know Phil Foden from Manchester City. How do we now try and create a situation where these players get an opportunity at top level clubs? We have to sort this out now, where this goes through and the future looks bright. How do we make it bright? What's the answer here?
Coaching in academies. I think speaking firsthand, pretty much from Chelsea and City, I've seen close quarters day that the coaching's fantastic. But now is the next step. Winning the under 17 World Cup is an amazing achievement for everyone involved. But now is the next step. So it's to carry on coaching and try and give them a taste of first team. You need clubs like Chelsea. We all know now there's two buildings in most of the big clubs. First team and academy. Mm. You need to build a bridge, literally, where you keep getting them over there. Harry did it with us at West Ham. If I had a couple of good days training, Rio Ferdinand, Joe Cole was training at 15.
Training with
the
first
team. And that makes you feel, massive as a player, that makes you stand up and go, wow. And, you know, it takes a bit of time, then that's the next step, and that's the next step. But you need people that are willing, not to stick them in the first team, because it's a big business, we know but give them a feel.
Yeah, but the thing is, as well, is that the gulf between being a superstar under 17 and the first team is monstrous. Yeah. I mean, it's massive. The gulf between under 23s and the first team at this moment in time, because we all watch a lot of the under 23 leagues, that is massive, the difference. So we need that, and you also need the coaches to have the patience, have the confidence to bring them in. Ryan Brewster's been on the bench for Liverpool already last year with Jurgen Klopp. I played in a game with him out in Australia at the end of the season. So he's had lots of...
good is he, you coach?
He's excellent. He's excellent. He's an excellent footballer. Excellent prospect. He's a really good kid.
Yeah. Excellent prospect. Even the amount of time you've seen him play, do you have any real idea whether he could cut it in the men's
game? If he keeps on improving, the levels he's going, yes, he can do. When people say to me, I said to Ian Dark, one of our commentators, who's a good kid at Liverpool last year? And I said, Ryan Brewster's the one who we've all got big hopes for. But... it was Ben Woodburn, now it's Ryan Brewster. You have to keep on going and kicking on and kicking on and kicking on. Because we've seen it many, many times. As soon as you stop improving, that's it, you're finished. Mm-hmm. And we all know Phil Foden's a good kid. We all know that. We all know the Chelsea and Man City lads are brilliant. They're winning everything at youth level, at Champions League youth level. They're winning everything. But
will the managers ever give them a chance, Macca? That's the big question, mate, isn't it? You know, years ago, chairman of football clubs understood, OK, it's the manager came in, he's going to build a team. I played under Ron Greenwood, who was a fantastic football coach. He came to a Youth Cup semi-final that I played in, at West Ham, on a Saturday at Wolverhampton when the first team were playing. He came, it was late in the season, and he came with the kids to watch an FA Youth Cup semi-final. And then we beat them and played Liverpool in the final. He went to every youth game, never missed. I used to go with Frank Stad every Saturday morning, but I'd be at Chadwell Leaf. Every Saturday, if we were at home, the first team, we'd go to Chadwell Leaf, watch the kids play, we'd leave there, 20 minutes into the second half, get back to the football ground get ourselves prepared for the first team game. But we used to go everywhere with the youth team.
And what that means to the player, the young player, I remember you being there, managers here.
Never miss a game.
They can feel like you don't even know who they are.
Travel up to Oldham to watch the youth team and whatever when they played there. Now up to Everton, Liverpool, wherever we didn't miss a game.
That's everything around them. But the other thing is the mentality of those lads. They need to know that they've nowhere near made it. And celebrate, enjoy, go on Instagram, do what you've got to do, enjoy the moment. But what comes now is the real hard work, which is going up those next steps, which are massive. Macca said it. I remember those steps, 17s. I thought I was a bit of a player, put in the reserves. Struggled, got into the first team, struggled. Then you come to terms with it. There's a lot of hard work and mentality.
Do you know what's a big problem as well now, Jake? See, loaning players out. Frank went to Swansea on loan, made him, was a big thing in his career. You know, I loaned Jermaine Defoe here. I loaned Rio Ferdinand. They all came out and went out and played on loan. Now, when you want to take a player on loan, if I ring a football club and I'm a lower division club, you have to pay big money, £1 million loan fee. If you don't pick them, you have penalties.
Penalty clauses,
so you have to pay X amount every week that you don't pick him.
That's because these players have become a commodity, though. You know, Chelsea now run a business, which is players that are not good enough for the first team. We'll earn them millions.
But they're not going to get that experience to go out and play.
You need to play men's football.
Men's football.
That means playing in front of crowds, and 3 points is everything.
Everything.
Not under 23 level when it doesn't really matter if you win or lose, to be very honest. You need to play men's football where, you know, the win bonus means everything to your teammates. That's what you have to do. You have to play in front of crowds who are berating you and going crazy and dying for the cause. And that's when you know whether you're going to make it.
I remember Harry ringing me. I was in bed at home having an afternoon sleep or something. And I was in a youth team. As you say, games that mattered but didn't really matter. Mm. And Harry rang me and said, I'm sending you to Swansea. I just passed my driving test. And at first I thought, I don't fancy that. I don't want that at all. Harry and my dad didn't really let me have a choice in the fact. And thank goodness, because I went there for 2 months. I didn't pull up any trees, but I realised what men's football was.
I went to the Vetch one Saturday, Frank. We had a Sunday game. We trained in the morning. I drove down to the old Vetch, to Swansea, to watch you play ankle-deep mud. Yeah. Fantastic. What an experience for you.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember you played under-21s for England before you'd even made a first-team appearance. Mm. So you were the first player, actually, to do that. Do you remember the Laurent Mamenemi's quote? I've seen more fat on a chip.
Yeah, but I was young, though. Because I played for Liverpool when I was
18. I've still seen more fat on a chip, though, even today.
I know, yeah. I played for Liverpool when I was 18, so I played for the under-21s when I was 17.
But the message from all of you is... Very good. The message from all of you is, we need to have a pathway to the first team, but these guys have just won the World Cup. You can't believe you've made it yet.
No.
That's the key
point. They've not made it.
Get their heads down, but enjoy the moment, too.
And go on loan somewhere.
And go and work out.
Don't go to Swansea. I'll bet you.
The problem is, though, it's a mindset change. Sure, from chairmen who are making money out of players to managers who are under too much pressure to pick young players. We need a complete
change. Well, that's the thing. Why pick an 18, 19-year-old kid whose form's going to fluctuate when you've got a fully made, you know, Bernardo Silva?
Liverpool
are throwing them in.
The right back looks a player.
They've all had the goal. Well, Gomez is in now, a young lad for Charlton, of course, but
Trent's
played and Ben Woodburn's
real player,
Lots of three-word match reports coming in. I think the only one really to read out, though, is from Steve Durbridge, who just says World Cup winners. That is the best three-word match report of the day. This is a quote from Ronald Koeman. I had Olivier Giroud in the building, but at the very last moment, he decided he'd rather live in London. That was really hard to swallow. Effectively, what Ronald, we think, is saying is that part of the reason why he lost his job and they struggled under his time at Everton was because he didn't manage to get the striker that he needed to replace Romelu Lukaku. So he said Olivier Giroud was the one that got away, and it got us thinking, who's the one that got away as far as you're concerned? The thoughts of these three in a second, but first, take a look at this.
The one who got away for us, definitely Willian in August 2013, when he actually had a medical at Tottenham and ended up going to Chelsea after Roman Abramovich put in a call to the owner of Angie and basically sort of smoothed out the deal like that. It was especially annoying because Jose Mourinho was really smug about it.
One player that Southampton have missed out on is Philip Coutinho, but when the scouts went to watch him, they actually got very interested in his manager, which was Maurizio Pochettino.
I wish we bought Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Back in 2000, he spoke to Arsene Wenger about possibly joining the club, but Arsene wanted him to do a trial. Zlatan said, I don't do auditions.
The one that sticks out in my mind is Teddy Sheringham. Robbie Fowler references it in his book, and can you imagine a strike force that at the time would have had an emerging Michael Owen and Sheringham partnered Fowler?
He almost got Luka Modric in 2008 for £12 million. Almost there. Almost got him over the line. The representatives of both clubs met in Newcastle City Centre at the hotel, but he turned us down.
For me, it's got to be Kaká. As a Manchester City fan, I think it was 2009, Kaká was one of the best players in the world. We needed a big marquee transfer to show the world that we were serious about hitting the big time.
Everyone's got a story like this, haven't they? Harry's probably got about 600.
Yeah.
They've got about four minutes, so the floor is yours. Go on.
Eden Hazard.
How close was that?
Met him. Went to France, met him in a hotel room. 3 hours I was with him. That's probably why he didn't sign.
who did you send my dad to watch? Was it Eto'o?
Eto'o,
Was him when he was in France?
Yeah.
My dad didn't fancy him.
Is that right?
He didn't fancy him much.
That's something Eto'o now. He's no good at it.
I went with him. We started every week. We used to get the plane Sunday morning, Heathrow. Inter Parma.
Oh, that's why you went.
Fantastic. Yeah, go to the game.
There's loads of places.
Watching Samuel Eto'o. And then, like, he was on loan at the time.
Yeah, from Madrid.
From Madrid.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you going this week, Harry? Palmer again.
Hazard, could have had him, I think, at Tottenham at the time. But I think, you know, once I loved him. Joe Cole said to me, he's the best player I've ever played with. Yeah. And so we wanted him. And then, obviously, the club didn't get the deal done. For whatever reason, left it to the powers that be to buy him. And it didn't get pushed over the line.
Was there ever a player that you knew Chelsea were close to getting and you fancied that, or...?
They got most of the ones that they wanted.
They didn't
do badly. No. Do you know what I mean? So there was never really anyone. I mean, the one who got away would be De Bruyne.
Yeah.
But it's hard to call. Yeah, you know, we can sit here now and talk about all
exactly. Everybody got offered Ronaldo at 15, 16. Everybody got offered Lewandowski when he played in Poland at some stage, didn't he? He got touted rounds, like most players do. And suddenly, you know, 5-6 years later, they turn into superstars. But that always happens.
At the time, though, did you look at De Bruyne being allowed to leave and think, that is utter madness. This guy could become the best midfielder in the world.
I didn't. And probably the reason was we had Hazard, Oscar, William signed around at that sort of time. Mata, I think, was just leaving. But, you know, embarrassment of riches, really. Hence, they couldn't all play in those couple of positions. Yeah.
I just can't believe Olivier Giroud didn't want to live in Liverpool.
Well, I know. You're a big fan of Liverpool.
I am a big fan of Liverpool.
Give us your thoughts on that quote very briefly from Ronald Koeman.
I don't know what the situation was, but I can't believe he just... It's strange that he got into the building. I don't know where the building is, whether it's in the city centre or whether it's Finch Farm Evans training ground. But it's funny that he's travelled all the way to there to have a conversation, then to change his mind. So I don't know what's gone on.
He spent 150 million, and Olivier Giroud is the one that
he's the one that got away.
But the type of player he is, I look at Everton now, and you're looking for pace up front. Which is when they've been all these similar number 10 kind of players. I think Giroud would have been at a target and would hold the ball up for them. But as your main out-and-out striker...
You wouldn't have made that a pacey team, and they're a one-pace team.
You'd hate to say that, you know, he was the superstar that they couldn't get. I mean, I think he is clutching the straws a little bit there.
The best one I missed out on, though, when I was at West Ham training ground. And remember, we used to have the phone. We never had an office, right? We had a phone on the wall, phone, but you didn't have to pay to use it. And the phone goes, no, right? I had no secretary there, did you? Had nothing there at this time. Suddenly, I said, Gaffer, there's a phone call for you. So I go, hello. He said, it's George Weir. George Weir. I went, oh, yeah. I thought it's a wind-up. I went, how you going, George? Yeah, I'm good. I said, looks good. You looks good. Your team, Milani. It's just some nutter.
Yeah, yeah. A wind-up.
Suddenly, this goes, I'm having a bigger wind-up than he. Suddenly... He starts talking about playing with all the players he's going to play with this year. Boban's going to... I'm going to play here. Some, I thought, it is him. Now, he's dropped... But what he said, I've watched your team play, he said, and good team, he said, but you don't score the goals. He said, my cousin, fantastic player. Anyway, didn't hear no more. He rings Graham Souness. Graham signs him, puts him on the pitch... 20 minutes.
Takes him off again.
Got an injury, put him on. 10 minutes later, he took him off.
Brilliant.
So that was a lucky escape.
The one that got away, and you're glad it did, probably. We can't end on a higher note than that. Thank you ever so much. I really enjoyed it this evening. Just to sit here with you three and talk football for an hour was brilliant. Right, let me quickly tell you what else is still to come from BT Sport. Next Saturday, West Ham Liverpool. Premier League Tonight follows on after that one. And then on the Sunday morning, Premier League Today, followed by Tottenham against Crystal Palace.
It was gritty, it was grotty, it was Stoke. It was the Stoke that we love, and it was three massively important points.
City again, dominated from start to finish. They do look good when they go forward, look like they can score at every opportunity.
We need to change our tactics away from home because we're just getting battered every week.
Boom! Manchester United have beaten Spurs 1-0.
A good win that for Liverpool after a difficult week. The greatest way really to bounce back after the Spurs game.
Show some ambition or something. It's only Palace, for God's sake. That is hopeless, that one. Really rubbish.
A much needed point, especially being 2-0 down at half time, and hopefully we can build from there.
Thanks for listening to the Premier League Tonight podcast. Next week we'll be at the London Stadium as Liverpool take on the Hammers. Make sure you join us then on BT Sport. And if you enjoyed this week's show, feel free to subscribe and, of course, leave a 5-star review. Bye for now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.